Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's gadgets and gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.
So where do we begin?
Well, we begin back in September 2021, if you can remember that far back, where we talked about Colossal Biosciences. This was not
ringing a bell.
This was the company that had plans to genetically engineer a woolly mammoth, which it wanted to reintroduce into the Arctic tundra. Do you remember that? It was going to impregnate elephant with mammoth DNA. Maybe impregnate is the wrong word. Anyway, they haven't managed to do that yet. You won't be that surprised to learn. Mammoths, they're going for something a little smaller. They're going to try to make a new dodo and reintroduce it to Mauritius.
Okay. I'm slightly less worried about dodos roaming the place than I am about woolly mammoths.
Well, the woolly mammoths would be in the Arctic tundra. They weren't planning on letting them loose on the streets of London. Although you know how these things happen. We've seen the movies.
Yes.
Well, the dodos they're going to bring back into Mauritius, where it was last seen in the 17th century before it was wiped out, mainly for sport, apparently, by the sailors, because they were so easy to shoot.
And how feasible is this going to be, do you think?
Well, they have collected DNA from museum specimens of dodos, which there are hundreds around the world. And Beth Shapiro, who is the lead paleogeneticist, said that they think they can do it. You know, we've talked on this show about things you can tell people at parties, the jobs that you have.
Yes, I think.
Saying, I'm the lead paleogeneticist at Colossal Biosciences, would that impress or would that terrify people?
Well, I don't know. The next question is, what does that involve? You say I'm reviving dodos and woolly mammoths.
Yes. I think people might run a mile before that. Well, the problem is that the nearest relative to a dodo currently around is apparently a pigeon. And there are two problems there. One is that pigeons being significantly smaller than dodos, I don't know how you're going to hatch a dodo out of a pigeon-sized egg. Or somehow persuade the pigeon to lay a dodo size.
One very, very unhappy pigeon, I imagine.
Very unhappy pigeon. The next problem is that eggs being external, it's a lot harder to get the DNA into them than it would be into a sort of regular fetus inside the animal. So I don't quite know how they're going to manage that. But when people say, which came first, the dodo or the egg, you've got to tell them the egg with absolute certainty.
Yes. Well, yeah, but not anyway, the
they have
dodo.
Raised a further $150 million in funding in order to try and make... I don't know, the people who are funding this, what do they think they're going to get out of it? What are the commercial possibilities of dodos?
Except for sport. And people would frown on that now, I imagine.
I imagine they would, yes. As they didn't in the 17th century.
Yes,
anyway, let us move on from there.
Okay.
Bad news for BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed, which was once the darling of internet news, its value plummeted from $1.7 billion down to a mere $340 million. Well, I say a mere, still quite a lot. Enough to buy a couple of dodos, actually, if they chose to invest that wisely.
Yes.
The bad news is that in order to save costs, they're firing their journalists and instead using AI to write quizzes. Initially.
Yes, I think they're not firing all journalists. As I read it, they were firing some, but maybe I'm wrong.
Their CEO has said that they're going to expand the AI for editorial, with humans providing what he calls cultural currency and inspired prompts. So the humans will be there simply to feed ideas to the AI. It's all a bit scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little bit
Talking
scary.
Of scary AI, did you know that Google on your phone can identify music from your singing?
I didn't, but Soundhound and the other one, I can't remember the name of at the moment, they can do that.
That requires sort of decent singing. With Google, you can sing as badly as I can sing. I was going to show you, but I think I wouldn't inflict my singing on on the listening public.
What do you tell Google before you actually start singing? What am I singing?
You know, you press the button on your phone that says sing something, identify music.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize there was such a button.
It gets scarier still.
My daughter, I was unaware of what it was, but sent a poem about her son, my grandchild, which was really rather good. And then it turned out she just asked that AI engine to do it.
Yes. In fact, it wasn't really rather good. Read it again.
Well, it's better than you I could. It to me. Better than I could do it.
No, if it had been written by a 10-year-old, you'd say, "Oh, that's really rather good." Well, but written better than by I an adult, do. You'd say, "Don't be ridiculous." It was a rubbish poem. I'm sorry, I have to say.
Well, it's certainly better than I ever managed to do at school.
Well, indeed, and Google, the whole ChatGPT AI generating thing, it is getting quite scary. Microsoft have invested $14 billion into ChatGPT.
Hmm.
Think how many dodos you could buy with that.
Yes, but what? In what way is it generating money, though?
Well, it isn't yet. But when people like BuzzFeed start having their entire content produced from it,
it is
very good. There was a test produced by a lecturer at Minnesota University who got it to pass a US law exam by giving it the student questions and telling it how long, and they wrote it. In fact, some universities are so scared about this that they are, in their exams, they are reverting to pen and paper so that people can't use ChatGPT to churn it all out for them. So it is dangerous. OpenAI, the people who make ChatGPT, are releasing a tool to check if the content is AI-generated. Well, they do point out it's not fully reliable. So in their own tests, it correctly ID'd AI content in just 26% of those that were actually produced by AI.
That's pretty low, yes.
It also said that human text was AI 9% of the time. So it does get it wrong. But it's worth checking it out because it is interesting. It is somewhat terrifying because, of course, automated creation of content, as we now call the arts, content, is spreading all over the place. It's spreading into art. We've seen very much into photography, but also into drama.
There's a new show which I haven't seen but been reading about, in which AI is generating likenesses of celebrities who don't then have to get paid to act in this thing,
which is scary. It is also generating music. This is a thing called Music LM, which is part of Google's experimental labs, which generates music from a text prompt and an audio prompt. So let us have a listen to the audio prompt that they gave their system. This is one of dozens and dozens of them, but this is just one audio prompt they gave them.
Okay, Freude, Schöne, Goethe, Funken from The Ode to Joy from Beethoven's Ninth. But who's giving that to whom? I don't quite understand.
Well, that was a human giving it to the AI, which he then asked to produce in the style of a choir. Let's have a listen. And in the style of a jazz saxophone.
Gosh. Oh, that's quite good.
In the style of a string quartet.
Out.
Some horrible harmonies.
Yes, finally, pretty terrible harmonies there.
In the style of an opera. No, I think it's safe to say musicians are safe for the time being.
Yes, I was going to say work in progress.
But, work in progress.
Again,
but
the speed with which these things are developing is just extraordinary.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I mean, we all saw, you know, automation coming along and taking people's jobs, but we never thought it would be the jobs of artists, you know, musicians, painters, poets that would be taken. And it's actually really quite shocking how good this stuff is getting.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
We haven't commissioned the first ChatGPT novel, although I'm sure someone will beat us to it because.
Oh, I'm sure somebody must be doing it now. Mm. Surely you would think
somebody
so.
Must.
Let us just take a break while I'm still the person pressing the buttons.
Sharing ideas about money. This is Share Radio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, that was me. I actually pressed the button, but it won't be long before I'm replaced, I'm sure. So where do we go now?
Well, people being replaced again, or rather not replaced. Cutbacks in the tech arena. Google have announced that they've just laid off 31 massage therapists at their headquarters.
Wow. Wow.
Well,
how will
they manage? Their staff are getting free massages because it's typically... tech companies employ, well, programmers, and programmers don't have very much interest in stuff outside programming, and so they don't really care how much money they earn, because if they've got enough for a pizza and a can of Red Bull, then they're happy. So tech companies traditionally have given their employees lots of perks to encourage them to work for them. We talked last year about how Facebook cut their free on-site laundry.
Oh, yes,
how,
I remember.
Where they used to offer a free taxi home or and a free meal, the last bus home now goes before the free meal starts. So you can choose one or the other, but you can't have both.
Right.
And I've looked around, and the only company that I can find who are still offering decent perks is Ben & Jerry's. Not a tech company, but a company which is providing all of its employees with free 3 pints of ice cream a day.
All of which is odd, because it, certainly in Britain at the moment, as we understand, most companies are actually having trouble finding employees. So you would think they'd be offering perks, but clearly not the tech companies, which are going the other direction.
Well, they don't suffer from Brexit in the United States, so I imagine they don't have the same difficulty finding employees. 3 pints of ice cream a day, though. I mean, are they supposed to eat it all?
I don't know. You can't really take it home. By the time you got it home,
Yes.
I don't
Absolutely
know.
Absolutely extraordinary.
Well, perhaps that's one of those things that on the surface looks very good until you actually think, could I possibly eat 3 pints of ice cream a day?
I suppose you can give it to your friends. So it's maybe that all these sort of laid off massage therapists and people are going to have to find new employment. But how will they learn new skills? Well, here's a way you can learn 3 times faster.
Mm-hmm.
This is some research done by the universities in Cambridge and Singapore. And it's based on the fact that each person has an individual alpha brainwave frequency. It is somewhere between 8 and 12 hertz. So somewhere between 8 and 12 times a second, your alpha waves fire. Looking at a flashing light that fires at the same frequency as your alpha waves for just 1.5 seconds enables you to learn 3 times faster. Absolutely extraordinary.
How long does that last?
Well, apparently there's good next day retention as well.
Good grief. Okay.
Yeah. How long does it last? It doesn't really matter. Another 1.5 seconds of flashing lights and you're back up to speed again.
Oh, my God.
And you can do this yourself at home. with a flashing light. You'd need some kind of speed controller. And you'd need some EEG headgear, of course, to measure your alpha waves. Where can you get EEG healthcare from? Well, I've done the research for you. You can get it from Amazon. £169 will buy you an EEG headset from a company called Mindplay. Mm-hmm. That's Mindplay with a Y rather than an I.
Of course it is, yes.
Of course it is.
Yes. And so, have you tried it?
Well, I haven't because I haven't got the wherewithal or the knowledge to build the flashing lights that can tie into the headgear. But I'm sure it won't be long.
You certainly can build something that does a flashing light, and that's not beyond you. Even I might be able to manage that.
Yes, but we're talking about a flashing light that flashes very precisely, not only somewhere between 8 and 12 times a second, but exactly the right amount between 8 and 12 times a second.
So basically, with the gear from Amazon, you can actually work out how fast the flashing light should be flashing. You just can't get a flashing light to flash that fast.
I imagine so, yes.
Oh, well, that's a bit disappointing, really.
Well,
just
I'm sure it won't
just
be
trying
long
to learn before Italian, it would have been very useful.
It will. The full thing will be presided, I'm sure, very shortly, probably on Amazon if someone else doesn't get there first. Okay. Look out for on Kickstarter, that's what I say.
Watch this space, I guess. Okay, we haven't had one of these yet, so I guess now's about the right time.
Stargazing. Who doesn't like gazing up at the stars on a clear night? Well, if you're one of the people who do, make the most of it now, because the chances are you won't be able to for very much longer. The problem being satellites. There are currently 8,000 satellites up there circling the Earth, which is up from just 2,000 in 2019. So that's a fourfold increase in just 3 years. And another 400,000 satellites have been approved for launch.
Wow.
Which means that by 2030, the night sky will be so full of satellites, we won't be able to see all but the very brightest stars.
Surely that's obviously a shame, but surely the biggest danger is that they're going to start hitting each other and creating some sort of, knock-on effect, like in that film Gravity. I mean, it's rather amazing. It doesn't happen more often. Because once debris starts circulating through the satellites as well, it becomes ever more difficult.
Yes, that is absolutely true, except because 400,000 sounds like an awful lot of satellites up there. If you imagine 400,000 cars on the surface of the Earth, they very rarely bump into each other, and there's an awful lot more than 400,000 cars. If the entire Earth were covered with land, rather than two-thirds of it being water, and then by moving the satellites out, you're then expanding that surface area by at least twice, maybe three or four times.
Okay. I take your point, but they already have to move I can't remember what it's called now. What's
International Space Station? Yeah.
Thank you very much indeed. Sorry, you're welcome. I need that flashing light rather quickly, I think. The International Space Station has to move every so often. And of course, most satellites can't actually move to get out of the way of other things.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they will bump into each other. But as I say, there's a lot of space up there and relatively
few. So do your stargazing now, really, when you've got the chance, is the answer.
Do your stargazing before 2030. That's my advice.
I did go to one of the dark sky areas and stayed in an Airbnb, and they provided this really immense telescope. I was looking forward to it dreadfully. There was not one clear night in the week we were there.
Lot
of rain, yes. So yeah, we didn't do anything. Just gazed at the telescope, really. Right,
well,
where now?
Talking of gazing up at the sky, a little bit lower than the satellites, drones. There are 300,000 drones in the UK. 300,000 licensed drones, that is, which is an awful lot of drones.
What makes you have to license one? Because I've got one that isn't licensed.
If they're over a certain size.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. The one that you've got is the one that I got you for your birthday some years ago,
which
you can fit in the palm of your hand. That's not the kind of thing that airports are worried about.
Okay.
It's the bigger ones that they're worried about.
Right.
So there are proposals to give them number plates. When I say number plates, I don't mean number plates like you've got on cars.
Right.
But I mean remote ID, which will enable enable them to track the speed, location, height, user's location, and takeoff point. Now, I think there's a problem there with tracking both their speed and their location, because according to Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, of course, we can know exactly where something is or what speed it's going, but not both at the same time. So anyway, who knows? They may get to do it. It's due to launch on 1st of
launch.
April 2026. Yes.
Right. Yes. Okay.
1st of April, never being a good day to launch anything, I don't think. No. Anyway, still up in the sky, and we're moving on again. On January the 11th, that's just last month in the United States, how many flights were there, domestic flights in the United States? I'll tell you how many. There were none, because the FAA, the Federal Air Authority, had to ground them all because of a problem. And the problem
was, I read about that, yeah.
Well, they had technicians who were synchronizing their backups, and they accidentally deleted some key files without which the planes couldn't fly. So the entire United States was grounded while they had to go, I don't know, rubbish in their bin or come up from a different backup to get these files back. And you think that kind of thing, there'd be some kind of warning saying, are you sure you want to delete these? These are very important, you know. I mean, if I try and delete even trivial files on my computer, it warns me about it.
Wasn't there something terribly important to do with America's defence that's on floppy disks you told us about recently? Or have I just imagined that?
There may well have been. I don't.
Something like missile defence or something really rather important that you thought would be terribly whizzy and up to date. I can't remember. I'll have to go back and listen to all the previous episodes.
I don't remember,
episodes,
but if that were the case, then the likely explanation would be that floppy disks are air-gapped, and the internet obviously isn't. So that, for defense purposes, that could be a good idea.
Yes. Right.
On now to, you have a little jingle, or are we going to go straight on?
Oh, let's just go straight on. Yes.
Okay. Flower picking. There's a shortage of flower pickers in this country, and so flowers have been left rotting in the fields, not just in this country, but in places like Holland as well. Well, Falmouth University have come up with a solution. They've invented a robot, which they've called Daffy.
Right.
Which is like a little fairground claw, and it can pick flowers at
I hope it's rather more effective than the fairground claws I used to use, and you must never catch anything.
No. Well, they were specifically designed not to be able to catch anything. They move at 10 centimetres a second, which I suppose is... Well, it's a metre every 10 seconds. It's not terribly fast, but it's probably as fast as your average flower picker. And I don't know if they're actually going to put this into practice yet, because I imagine these robots will be significantly more expensive than your average flower picker.
What do we have recently? Was it raspberry pickers?
Yes. Well, picking soft fruit is particularly difficult.
Flowers, but I imagine, fairly similar. You can't just suddenly squeeze them, can you?
Well, no, but what you don't want to do is to have a raspberry picker going along just plucking the heads off, because people tend to want the stems with flowers.
Yes, that is certainly true. Yes. You would think that would be easier than the raspberry one, but who knows? Okay.
And finally, our app of the week. We have got a little app of the week jingle.
Yes, I can give you one of those. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. It's been so long since I played it. Let me play the right one.
No, if you hadn't said no, it's the wrong one. As of today, it's the right one.
No, I've got to play it. I'm sorry. I've got to play it. It's been so long, I'd forgotten.
It has. App of the week. So picture the situation. Your phone is running out of battery. You've got just 5% battery left. What do? You check your Facebook feed? Do you go onto your favourite news website? Or do you use an app you've previously downloaded for this very purpose called Die With Friends?
What?
You can only use the app if your phone battery is about to die. Mm. And it puts you into a chat room with other people whose phone batteries are also going. And the idea is that you sit there chatting away with them until one by one, You drop off because your phone has died.
Am I being unduly thick and not really seeing the point of that?
Well, no, I don't think you are, because I have downloaded it. I've never really let my battery get down to 5%, so I haven't had the chance to try it out yet. But I think if I were in a situation, I think it'd be quite, I mean, quite morbid, certainly, in a room full of dying people waiting for them all to drop off. But I think the idea of it is rather glorious.
I wonder if it's not available for the iPad as well, because my iPad battery does actually often almost go by the end of the day. So I could.
If it's an iPhone app, then you can always use it on your iPad as well.
That isn't true. WhatsApp doesn't work on iPad, but does work on...
It does. So it's just not available for download on iPad for reasons best known to WhatsApp.
All right, okay. Oh, well, that's quite intriguing. Well, let's see who first tries it. Die with friends. Except they aren't friends because you've never met these people before.
No, but by the time,
with strangers.
The time they die, they'll be friends.
I see. Okay.
It's a good Die with Strangers is not such a good name for the app.
Well, let's see who tries it out first. Or if one of our listeners tries it, let us know how you get on. That's it, though, for this edition of Gadget and Gizmos from Steve Kaplan and myself, Simon Rose. We'll be back with the same... I was going to say the same. No, completely different stuff at the same time next week.
Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's Gadgets and Gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.